The extreme violence that plagued Juarez, Mexico in the last decade was a product of many forces at work in the border city. Juarez's situation has improved, and a new film profiles one of Juarez's top police officers and suggests his policies and charisma may have helped turn the tide for the city. I'm Charles Horak, you're listening to On Film. My guest today is documentary filmmaker Charlie Min. Min has made numerous films about corruption and violence in Mexico, and his latest film is a portrait of the former Secretary of Public Safety in Juarez and his campaign to fight corruption and gangs. The film is titled Mexico's Bravest Man, and Charlie Min is back in the studio today. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Charles.
Good to have you, and you have an opening coming up this coming Friday at Premier Cinemas at Bassett Place. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know that we've talked many times on this show about your previous films, which have explored some of the extreme violence that has gripped Juarez and Mexico over many years. There has been a dramatic drop in the murder rate in the last few years, and if not a return to normalcy there in that city, there is a sense that conditions in Juarez are improving. Why did you decide now to make a film about Julian Lezaola?
Mainly because he was shot last May in Juarez on a very busy street called Internacional, about a mile from the Zaragoza Bridge on the Mexico side. I've been keeping my eye on this man for 5 years. When he first got to Juarez in 2011, March of 2011, he came in with a very controversial reputation.
From Tijuana.
Of Tijuana, yes, of cracking down on crime. But the big question is, did he get those positive results by fighting crime with crime? So when he got to Juarez, I kept a close eye on him, and I featured him in two of my films in Juarez, the second and third parts of my trilogy. But I wanted to make a whole film on him, mainly because he helped lower the murder rate in Juarez from 3111 in 2010 to about 490 in 2013 when he left. So that was the main reason why.
You mentioned his work in Tijuana being controversial. Big success, though. There was a correlation as well in Tijuana, his time there, a dramatic drop in crime, particularly murders and kidnappings. Did he get reassigned to Juarez as punishment for that improvement or as because of his success?
No, what usually happens in dangerous Mexican cities is the mayor and the police chief will come in together and leave together. So in this case, the mayor of Tijuana, at the time, he left and Lezaola left as well. So Lezaola came to Juarez. Hector Murguia hired him, the former two-time mayor of Juarez, back in 2011. So I felt he was the right guy at the right time for the city of Juarez, which was upside down in March of 2011. You cannot have a soft cop in Juarez leading the department. So here's a man who came in. Had a no-nonsense approach. He's a former military officer, so he was battle-tested. And Murguia brought Lezaola in to duplicate the success in Juarez that he had in Tijuana, and it turned out to work.
This assassination attempt last year in the film, that's the eighth assassination attempt, and he was paralyzed because of that shooting.
Correct. He took three bullets, one to the side, one to the lung. The shot to the lung sounds scary, but that didn't prove to be any harm. And then the shot to the spine was the big one. You hurt your spine, you're going to lose your mobility most likely. So he's in a wheelchair now for the rest of his life. So I had to make this film. My mom's in a wheelchair. So I have a thing about people in wheelchairs. I think there should be a National Wheelchair Day. We have a lot of veterans in wheelchairs. There should be one day out of the year where we honor and recognize people in wheelchairs.
So you had a personal
very much
connection
so.
To this, not just following him for 5 years and his personal story of how he perhaps turned around things in Juarez. One of the things that your film does, I think, is integrate a number of different perspectives about this person and this police chief who, in his own words, takes a great deal of credit for the turnaround in Juarez. There's certainly a correlation between his tenure and the drop in crime. Whether that was the cause of it is maybe open to discussion as you allow to happen in the film. You have a number of perspectives of people who see him as not just a hero, but as a potentially corrupt official who was targeting certain elements of crime, but not all. Maybe someone who was a zealot, perhaps, from a certain perspective, who allowed really tough techniques and means to not get in the way of getting to the end he wanted. he bent rules, and you have victims who claim that he imprisoned people improperly, including police officers. One of the great challenges he came into was vast corruption within the police force. How do you manage all of those perspectives as a filmmaker and overseeing the editing of this film?
It's very important to present both sides. I'm not hailing him as a hero here, but we're looking at all the possible human rights abuse, corruption, and even murder. But a Mexican cop being accused of this is nothing new, unfortunately. When you think of the term Mexican police, the first word that comes into your head is corrupción, corruption. And this goes for any part of Mexico. I've done 7 films inside the war zone, whether you're in Culiacan, Guerrero, Baja California, Chihuahua, Sonora, Michoacan, Tamaulipas. When you say Mexican police, you think of corruption. You don't think of beauty and honor and honesty. So he was in a no-win situation when he came to Juarez. You talk about firing the police officers. He did that in Tijuana and Juarez. He called it the purification process. He got to Juarez, fired 800 police officers. So right away he has 800 enemies. They were killing Tijuana police officers and Juarez police officers consistently unless this man resigned or messages to Leyzaola. And Leyzaola, a man of his stature and his personality, is not going to back down. He's called the cartels cockroaches. He has said, I will meet you on the street and shoot you in the head. I can't get over this man's excessive guts, Charles. I mean, how does a man lower the murder rate in 2 of the deadliest cities in Mexico, Tijuana and Juarez, and survive 8 assassination attempts? It's an amazing story.
As he comments himself, you have a lot of access to him in the film, and so he comments a lot of periods of that time. He seemed fixated on the Azteca gang, particularly in his work. Why that over other elements of crime?
Wow, we're giving away a lot here, Charles. The Los Aztecas was one of the groups in Juarez that was causing a lot of the violence. And there again, by him just pointing them out, everyone's going to think, well, he sided with the Cartel de Sinaloa, because the Cartel de Sinaloa and Los Aztecas are against each other. So the Sinaloa cartel, a lot of people believe he sided with Chapo, who's the head of that, because while—
recently re-imprisoned.
Correct. Cannot believe he hasn't escaped yet, by the way. But when he was the police chief in Tijuana, Chapo won the Tijuana drug plaza. When Leyzaola got to Juarez, a lot of people believe that Chapo won the Juarez drug plaza. So that begs the question, was that just a mere coincidence, or was it an organized conspiracy? Most Mexican people will tell you that this was an organized conspiracy. So,
because the society there has become so disconnected from its institutions, because there is so little faith in institutions, or as your film points out, it's almost impossible to find evidence to support any of these opinions.
95% of the murders are not looked at. So that always begs 3 questions: who's being killed, by who, and why? The drug war in Mexico is extremely mysterious. It's nebulous. It's murky. You're not exactly sure what exactly is going on unless you're a frontline direct participant. It's so confusing, this war in Mexico. You don't know whose side who is on. Is the police involved? Politicians? Your neighbor? Your next-door neighbor could be involved. The mayor could be involved. The cartels, the government. Is that all intertwined into one ball? Very confusing, very hard to pinpoint.
Use the term murky, and I think that's a good one for the film, and it's not a criticism of the film, but I think you get at, within this focusing on the portrait of this one man and the various perspectives in the society of who he is or was or what he did, you really get to the heart of maybe the situation there, that murkiness of inability to really know definitively the history of the last few years there and why things are improving and why things got as bad as they did. There's a lot of prevailing theories about those, but when you try to unravel that ball, as you say, it's difficult to see where those strings go.
This will be forever debated for decades. What exactly caused the Juarez violence and what caused it to go down? This will be forever debated. And a lot of it is because of the lack of investigations. We just can't get a grip on this whole thing.
And in Leyzaola's mind, how does he think he changed the situation there?
Well, his policies were pretty straightforward. He, as I mentioned, he fired 800 police officers. He hired some military commanders. He increased his patrol. He concentrated on downtown to get rid of kidnappings and extortions. He would go out into the street himself every night at 9 o'clock at night, and he called it, "I am going out hunting." He would literally go out hunting, looking for criminals himself. He would lead and inspire his police force. The one thing Laziola brought to the Juarez
police— brought a lot of new recruits in.
Yes.
Fresh.
And he also got rid of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. The one thing Laziola brought to the Juarez Police Department was pride. People started caring again. But unfortunately, that came with a big price. One of his Tijuana police officers said, "I respect Laziola, but in order for us to be successful, I'll have to take a bullet."
Like you, tough like, bargain.
Like, right. And I posed these questions during presentations. Let's say he was corrupt. Let's just say he was. Would you accept that trade of 3,111 murders a year in Juarez to 490 in a matter of 3 years? Would you accept that trade? You see, the moral ambiguity is fascinating with this man.
And the audiences you put this question to, how do they respond?
They would accept that trade.
Interesting. Should we assume from the film's title, with all you've seen, you lean towards accepting his understanding of the situation there and his belief that he was instrumental in making the changes that needed to happen in Juarez?
I am cautiously, let's underline that word 7 times, going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because that's the kind of person I am. Unless I see direct evidence.
Because of his perseverance?
His guts.
Yeah.
I cannot begin to tell you how I admire his mind-bending, incredible guts. And guts is the most beautiful part of a human being. It really is. It beats superficial good looks any day of the week. You have guts, people will respect you. Because guts is from the heart, from the soul, and it is the most beautiful part of a human being. He inspired me to look at my guts to try to become a big filmmaker. And I hope everyone out there listening finds their guts and takes it to the top.
Where is he now?
He's in Tijuana trying to run for mayor.
Perhaps he is the bravest man in Mexico. So thanks for coming and speaking with us.
Thanks, Charles.
I've been discussing the new documentary, Mexico's Bravest Man, with director Charlie Min. Min's film is a portrait of Juarez's former Secretary of Public Safety, Julian Laziola, who survived 8 assassination attempts on his life during his service in Tijuana and Juarez. The film will debut at Premier Cinemas at Bassett Place next Friday, February 26th, and begin a week-long run. And you can see the trailer for the film on YouTube. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.